Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast. Thank you for listening. If you have been enjoying the show as ever, please do rate, review and subscribe on the Apple Podcast app. It helps other people to discover the show. And if you've already done that, thank you so much. It genuinely encourages me to carry on. So thank you. Every guest that comes on has been through some pretty tough times, but I just wanted to warn you that even for us here at Griefcast, this week's episode was tough. This week I'm talking to stand-up and writer Lou Conran. Lou lost her baby Emma when she was 5.5 months pregnant. She took that unbelievable pain and managed to turn it into a show which she took to the Edinburgh Festival last year. So you have missed seeing it in Edinburgh, but she's currently touring, so please listen out at the end where you can find more details of where you can see this incredible woman and listen to her brilliant show. Welcome to Griefcast. I'm here today with stand-up writer Lady Extraordinaire. That's what I'm going to go for. It's your formal title, right?
Thank you very much. Thanks. Yes, I'll have that.
Lou Conran.
Hello.
Hi, Lou.
Hiya.
Thank you for coming to talk to
That's
me.
All right.
Who are we remembering today?
We are remembering my baby. Her name was Emma. And I lost her when I was about 5.5 months pregnant.
So let's maybe it'd be good to go back to how you found out you were pregnant and what happened. Because I know you wrote about this for Standard Issue.
Yeah.
So I know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So it was it a planned pregnancy?
Oh, Christ, no.
No. So what happened?
Well, basically, when I was about 38...
No, she's never older than that.
She bloody well is. When I was about 38, I was told that that I probably had no eggs left and I probably couldn't get pregnant.
And you're not just a random person walked past you.
You barren old bitch. Yeah.
No. So were you trying to get pregnant?
No,
at the time?
My sister had gone to a gyne. She lives in Brazil and she'd been to her very flash fanny doctor, and they said
they have flash ones in Brazil.
They really do. Yeah.
My brother used to live there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have the highest amount of plastic surgery in the world.
No,
everyone thinks it's LA. It's Brazil.
Well, that does not surprise
me. Yeah, they love it.
And I think it's mostly on their bottoms.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Anyway,
sorry. So she went to her fanny doctor, and they basically said that she was perimenopausal.
Wow.
And my mum had a really early menopause, so Nicola was 40 at the time, and I was 38, and she said, you'd better go and get yourself checked out. So, and you'd never really sort of think about it, do you? So I just went along and had this blood test. It's called an AMH test, and it's evil. And they basically said, you've got no eggs left. You've got a year before you'll be barren.
Oh my goodness.
So that I kind of went into a kind of mad panic, like, oh shit, oh, I really do want to have kids, so yeah. What the hell do I do? So, oh yeah. So then I sort of like got a little bit depressed about it, and then signed up.
Understandably,
to, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, it's crazy, but yeah. It was.
That's a really huge thing. To be told.
But what I later found out was that this test doesn't really mean you've got no eggs left.
Oh,
yeah.
Then why are they doing it?
They don't tell you this. It basically kind of gives you an indication of the quality of your eggs.
Right.
But that changes on a monthly basis. As does your body, as does your fitness levels, as does your piggy levels, everything.
Oh, my goodness. It's a bit like with PCOS, polycystic ovaries, which I've been told I have had and then haven't had because it changes every month.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really hard for them to actually go... Some people definitely have it every month, but for some women it's like, well, you did, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
It might come back.
Yeah. Gosh, but the human body is amazing.
Yeah.
So they sort of said this, and I think, like... Basically, they said, oh, if you had a normal level, it would be, I don't know, for example, between 10 and 15,
right,
whatever's on the scale of bloody blah blahs. And mine was 0.05.
Wow.
So I sort of spiralled into this, oh, fuck, what do I do?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and get laid. But
good work, lady.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's...
That was obviously your ovaries were like, come on,
yeah, go. Yeah, 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 but I can't go out and get laid. It doesn't happen to me. So
no, I can't believe this.
No, I never get sausage.
Oh, Lou.
I know. And I was having,
Lou is available for sausage. Everyone.
I really fucking am. anyway, so basically, so I went and signed up for a sperm donation.
Wow.
In this kind of, oh God, yeah. I've only got a year.
Let's
blah,
do
blah,
it.
Blah, blah. And then like on the last appointment there, I was like, oh God. What the fuck are you doing, you stupid woman? What are you doing? And I was signing all the paperwork and was literally about to go through with it. And then this horrific man came in the clinic like, oh, God, nah, I've come to make me deposit. The woman behind the counter was like,
that's my daddy.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. I was like, oh God, I know it's going to be him. It'll be him, won't it? And he was like, oh, no, right. And she's like, but Phil, you've got the wrong day. And he was like, what do you mean I've got the wrong day again? And she's like, you're not due until Monday. He was like, oh, bloody hell, but I've abstained for 4 days. Anyway,
oh my God.
I know. I'm watching this man desperately trying to knock one out on his way to work. I was like, what are you doing? So it made me just go home and reassess. And then I got used to the idea of not having a baby. And I kind of thought, oh, right, well, it's a year
later.
So you
felt like your brain kind of accepted it.
Yeah, I think so. And then I thought, oh, well, I can go on holiday when I want and I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And then, because I was a lot more relaxed about it, I met this man and we started seeing each other. And then after about 48 bottles of red wine, I got pregnant.
So did you miss a period? And were you then like, what, this can't be happening? Like, how did you...
I think I pretty much knew straight away.
Really?
Yeah, because I had a really weird kind of hormonal kind of flourish.
Wow.
Where I literally felt my body... It was like a... I know this sounds really weird, but it was like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know what, I just kind of like had this, if I could describe it as anything, it was like a Disney film with all the little birds tweeting.
Yeah.
I mean, the sex was pretty horrific, but the it was like, which is like, oh gosh, I've never done drugs, but it's I would imagine it's like when you're off your face. And then I kind of had this kind of, oh God, everything's amazing. And then within about 2 or 3 days, my tits just ballooned.
Yeah. That's what happened to me, but I was still in complete denial. I was like, no, but my boobs were like screaming.
And
like,
it was him. He was like, your tits are enormous. I was like,
they
yeah.
go enormous. Like yeah. they pass like normal yeah. period boobs. They
oh
go
my
like,
God.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened to me. And I was like, what? This is weird. And I'm late. What could it be? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't wait to find out whether I'd missed my period.
So, but were you in your head? Were you thinking, well, this can't be
yeah.
true?
Yeah,
like, because, they said I can't.
Yeah. But I was between you and me.
Yeah.
I'd realised that I was seeing a twat.
Oh no.
So
which happens to all of
yeah,
us.
Yeah. And so
suddenly dawns on you, doesn't
I know.
It?
Oh,
oh
he's
God.
A twat.
Yeah. And that's what's annoying, is he's a twat.
Yeah. And then I thought, right, well, Right, well, I need to nip this in the bud before we have any more sexual intercourse, and I need to stop this now. So I go and see my head lady, my counsellor lady, and she's amazing. And so we do role play, and nice. We practice me dumping him.
Great,
because
brilliant.
I am not an assertive person. And I once went out with somebody for 3 years after knowing after a week I didn't want to be with that person. But because
out of politeness.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot. So I went and saw my lady, and we sort of like role played. It was ever so fun. And then I got home, and then I thought, well, I'll just pee on a stick.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah. And as soon as the test went near the piss, it just went pregnant straight
wow.
away.
Wow. Your hormones must have been on fire.
Literally.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And then I sat on the end of my bed for about 45 minutes repeating the word shit.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. You must have been so shocked. Your brain just...
Yeah, I was... It's a really weird feeling knowing that this is the one thing that you've always wanted.
Yeah.
And then you get it, and then you realise you're up the duff by an idiot. And then it's like, well, this is not how it's supposed to be, is
yeah,
it? It's
yeah.
not supposed to be like this. And I went straight away. I went to Aldi, and I spent £100. £100 in Aldi.
How many bags must you have had?
I had shitloads.
And all, like 20.
I don't know. It was at Christmas, and I was having a few people around that weekend, and I cooked 3 massive lasagnas. I made a roast.
Wow.
I made enough food to feed probably about 50 people.
Wow.
And I was having 5 people. I moved all my furniture around in my flat.
Oh my God.
I was.
You went pure female crazy.
Yeah. I really did. And then he came round, and he was like doing whatever he does, and then I was like, right, you need to sit down, I'm pregnant. And then he repeated the word pregnant for about 15 minutes. Pregnant. 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 Pregnant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I left him to digest that.
Yeah, take it in.
And then that's yeah, and then basically it was like, all right, well, we've only been seeing each other like 6 or 7 weeks.
Wow.
I know.
That's fast.
I know.
Wow. Yeah.
I know.
I can see you must have been thinking, oh my God.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then what happened? What's the next stage? Was he like, we're going to do this? And did you think?
No.
No. Okay. I was so hopeful for him. I was giving him so much.
No, he was all right to start off with. And then as soon as I told him I was pregnant, he turned into a man in denial. Didn't believe it was his.
Oh,
and then,
my God.
Then I called it a day because I just thought, I can't make this work with you. So I thought the least we could do is try and have a friendship. And then, because we've known each other for 10 or so years.
Oh, okay. So you've known he's a twat for a long time.
Yes, yeah. Well, I thought he was a lovable twat. I didn't realise he was a twat.
Twat. Yeah. So sad when you find out, isn't it, with your friends? Oh.
Yeah. And a mutual friend of ours had been trying for years to get us together. Anyway. So I was like, bye-bye, we're not having a relationship, but we can at least make this work.
Yeah.
And then he was in denial about it, and then he disappeared off the face of the earth for about 3 months.
Wow.
And I thought, good.
Great, yeah.
So
I can
let
just
me
get
my head
this.
Around it.
Yeah.
Give you time to get your head around it. And then I always knew that in the back of my mind that there was something wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because one of my best mates had got pregnant at the same time. We found out on the same day we were pregnant. So we'd been sort of mapping our pregnancies together, you know. Ooh,
yeah.
What fruit is it this week?
Yeah,
it's an avocado.
Yeah. It tells you on the apps there's the size of an apricot.
Yeah.
It's the size of a yam. You're like, what's a yam?
And so we were sort of like week by week charting everything together. And that kind of helped because I didn't have him there.
Yeah, of course.
And so I was like, oh, at least I'm sharing this with somebody. And then we went to the 12-week scan, and I was really worried because I just thought, well, I was 40 at that point. And then I thought, oh, gosh, knowing my luck, because I always have, well, no, I don't always have bad luck. That's a really bad thing to say. But I kind of think, well, if something's going to happen, it'll happen to me.
Right.
So I thought, oh gosh, I'll probably get told that the baby's got Down syndrome or it's got the other
which
ones
that I
never
think, know. Which you do think, like, I know, yeah. I had exactly, if you've got that kind of slightly anxious brain, yeah. You're like, oh God, oh yeah. God, what are they going to say?
But I couldn't get rid of this nagging feeling in the back of my head. And then we went to the scan and all the tests came back and it was fine. But I wasn't. I just kept thinking, well, there's something not right. And then me and Sue were sort of chatting every day and she was putting on weight and I was not really.
Okay.
And I kind of thought, that's something.
Were you getting
not
sick
right.
Or were you having other symptoms?
Oh, God, so I was sick. Wretched. Oh, God. I was nipping off in because I MC a lot and I was nipping off in between acts. Vomiting.
Oh my God.
And yeah, and my sense of smell.
Oh, I know.
I could smell my own arsehole when I was. It was awful.
I used to wake up and he my husband was cooking anything. I was like, what? Your cookie's like, I feel sick. And he's like, I'm making you breakfast. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, your nose is insane, yeah. Isn't it? Really.
And the only thing that would stop the nausea was if I ate crisps or if.
Yes, crisps and digestive biscuits.
Yeah, and my friend was like, there's no way that's making you feel better. It's just an excuse to eat. It's like, honestly, I cannot tell you how much this is helping.
So you sort of were thinking, okay, I'm not following her pattern. But yeah. That is, I mean, you know, yeah. Pregnancy is very different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was there. Nagging. It was kind of nagging.
What did you do with that nagging feeling? Did you try and tell yourself, don't be silly? Or were you just...
Well, what did I do? I don't know. I just... It's weird because when I used to go shopping with friends and they'd go, should we get something for the baby? Yeah. And I don't know why, but I was always like, no, I think we should wait. And yeah. I suppose your instinct just kicks in, doesn't it? And now, and my midwife, after it all happened, she just said, your pregnancy controls you. You don't control your pregnancy.
Yeah, and that's very true.
Like, listening to that, it's like, oh, right, yeah, I get it now. But then I started getting used to it and started forcing myself to try and get used to the
idea.
Yeah,
because you try and think I'm being silly and I'm being mean to myself. Yeah.
So I started buying baby things to try and get my head in. I bought a cot off eBay and I bought this sterilising unit and I just silly little bits and pieces. And then I took my mate Alan with me to the 5-month scan.
So that's the 20-week, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like, but it was a couple of weeks afterwards.
Yeah, it's around then,
paperwork,
isn't it?
Bollocks and all of that. So I was about 5 and a bit months.
Yeah. Were you showing and you sort of...
I suppose so. Yeah. Tits out here.
Yeah. Half the tits. People don't realise this.
Yeah.
Insane,
and I'd sort of like, right, if I tell everybody I'm pregnant, I have to get used to this. Yeah. So, you know.
And when was this in terms of like now? So was this...
This was last April.
Last April, okay. Yeah.
And so we went to... Me and Alan went to the 5-month scan and... Alan's name is Susan as well, so I call her Alan.
Okay.
So it's not confused.
I see.
So we went to the 5-month scan, and we were like, oh, it's quite exciting. I'm going to find out what flavour it is.
Yeah,
and then the woman just went, no, I'm seeing irregularities that I wouldn't expect to see at this stage.
So she just said that off the bat? Did she give any warning? Because that 20-week scan is... So I had a baby 6 months ago, so that's why I'm very present in the world of what happens. Because, did she not say... she just came out with it.
Well, she was there for ages.
Oh, that's the ages thing. It's terrifying
And I don't know. I was... not really a blur, but I was kind of laying there and I could see Alan staring at the woman and I was sort of like laying there trying to make jokes because it's all a bit awkward, isn't it? And then she was like, right, just to let you know, I'm seeing these irregularities.
Oh, Lee.
And I was like... What? You know, because you're just like, I don't really understand what she's saying to me.
And they say a lot of stuff all the time, which means nothing to you. Numbers and words that you're like, what? What is going on?
So she repeated it. And then I was like, oh, what does that mean? And then she just said, the baby's limbs don't appear to be growing. And then instantly I thought, oh, my God, it's because I don't drink milk. So I was like, is it because I don't drink milk? And she was like, No, it's nothing.
Not, nothing's
nothing
the milk.
To do with that. And I was, of course, in your head, you're like, this is totally all my fault.
Yeah.
This is all my fault. It's because I don't drink milk and blah, blah, blah. There's osteoporosis in the family. And this is all my fault, blah, 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 blah. And then she went, it's just because the egg and the sperm weren't compatible. And I was like, well, fucking know that.
Wow. Literally laying it out for you genetically. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and she said, but I'm... she said it's, it looks like it's a form of skeletal dysplasia, which is a form of dwarfism.
Right.
So in my head, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll have a baby.
Yeah.
But it'll have dwarfism.
Yeah.
That's, what do I mean, that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's, oh, okay. Right.
And so you're running through like, okay, it's not what I expected, but that, this is what's happening.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, Alan, she's a special need. She works in special needs units. So this is okay. I have a friend that can deal with this sort of, you know, when you, and everything goes, it probably was only about 5 or 10 seconds, but I kind of had like this whole kind of scenario in my head, like, oh, all right, well, it'll have, all right, okay, well, no. Oh, how do I feel about it? I don't know how I feel about it. And the woman was like, right, well, I'm going to send you straight away for a second opinion. And so I kind of knew the severity of it at that point because she was sending me to a different hospital straight away. And then we got to the other hospital and then the woman was like, the sonographer was doing the test. And she was sort of like being nice and, oh, there we go, there's the baby, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. And then I was like, oh, what flavour is it? And she went, oh, it's a girl. And then that's when it kind of killed me because I was just like, oh, God, this isn't just a baby now, this is a person.
Yeah.
And now I know what flavour it is. So I was sort of beside myself. And then the woman said, it doesn't look like her rib cage is growing. And so that means her lungs probably aren't developed.
Oh, God.
So I was sort of laying there going, right, okay, so I'll have a baby with dwarfism that won't be able to breathe properly. Right, okay. But and all you want to know is it going to be okay?
Yeah.
Is it going to be okay?
You just want the words, yes, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it has some problems. Yeah.
And then we went from that, I think it was just about 6 o'clock in the evening, And they took us into another room, and it's awful. I'm laughing because we went into this other room with this consultant who came in, and he was from Greece, you know, and I could not understand what he was saying.
Oh, no,
and all he said was, "Your baby."
I know. He was sort of smiling, trying to be polite, but thinking, I don't know what he said.
But in my head, pissing myself.
Oh,
going,
my God.
And he was going, oh, da, 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 da. And then all I could hear was, so sorry. The baby, so sorry. And I was
oh, my God.
I was just like, oh, God. And I was fully expecting, and this is kind of like what I've written about in my show, is like how your brain works, because I thought this has got to be Antaldec. This has got to be Antaldec pissing about with me.
Yeah.
And any minute now, somebody's going to come out and go, oh, I mean, come on.
That would be a really harsh Antaldec, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would. But, you
but
know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You're but like, I just thought, this can't be, they cannot be sending this man in who I don't understand because he's whispering to try and, you know, try and maybe be sympathetic to the situation.
So sorry.
I was looking at Alan going, what's he saying? She's looking at me going, I don't fucking know. and then the more he kept saying so sorry, it's like, all right, well, this is it then. This is the end of the road.
Mm.
So that's kind of what I gleaned from it. And then went and sat in the car and rang my mum and dad, and my mum's not very good at, like, you know, understanding what's going on. And I rang, and she was like, oh, what's going on? And I was like, oh, it's not good news, mum. The baby's not well. And my mum's like, oh, God, have you got to have an abortion? And I was like, well, I've got to see another consultant. Oh, God. And you know, you're like, I need to tell you this is happening, but I need you to...
Yeah, also
perhaps
not just speak for me.
Yeah, just be sensitive to what's happening. And then they said, oh, because it was over a weekend, they said, oh, we can't get you to see the fetal consultant.
Oh, God.
Until next week.
Spend all weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you know at that point, okay, I'm definitely having an abortion, or were you just not sure? Were you kind of left in this, we have to wait and see?
Well, I kind of deep down knew it was game over, but I went to see, I've got this marvellous woman who does Chinese medicine.
Amazing.
I know. And I went to see her. She was trained as a Western doctor.
Right.
And then she decided to do Chinese medicine. Her speciality was in fetal abnormalities and all that sort of stuff. So I went to see her. And I said, oh, well, this is what they've said, skeletal dysplasia, but they've suggested it's a lethal version of this, blah, blah, blah. And so she basically said, I think probably what they're going to recommend is that you terminate the pregnancy because by the sound of it, she's not well enough and she won't survive on her own, you know, when she's born. So having her being really frank with me about that before I went to see the consultant was actually just what I needed, was somebody to just go A, B, C and D without the, I'm so sorry, without all of that. I just needed somebody to go, this is what's going to happen.
Mm.
So then my mum and dad came up that weekend and tried to sort of, well, it's just waiting, isn't it? You're just waiting. And then...
That must have been such a strange weekend.
It really was.
Like, we're sort of, I'm in between feelings. So.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, knowing... Because I'd, you know, she was moving inside me and I could feel all of that. And there was this person. And then knowing that, oh no, I'm not going to get to meet this person properly now.
But and they knowing, are, I think that's what people don't realize. I definitely didn't realize is even at the 12 week scan, it looks like a tiny person. I thought it would be a blob. But at 20 weeks, it's, it's a person. And you can feel it by then. You are feeling stuff. So it's not. Because I think sometimes if you haven't experienced pregnancy, you know, yourself or close up, 5 months can seem like, oh, right, 5 months. Like, well, you know, you weren't fully in it. It's like, that is, you are really in it by that point, you know.
Yeah. And you're, you know, you can feel the moving and you can, you know, the hiccups and everything. Yeah. Like, I had literally had all of that.
God.
But I don't, the dad came with me to see the consultant the following week. And he tries to make a joke out of everything.
Right. Even in this circumstance?
It gets worse.
Okay.
So at the 12-week scan,
he
had said to me, all right, what do we do if it's a mong?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Okay, so we've got his...
Yeah.
Playing, we got his level.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to know what he said at the fetal consultant.
Well, he didn't... I said to him, when he came around to collect me, I said, don't... be funny today.
Yes,
there's no, you just shut up.
Yeah.
And so he didn't. And then we went to see the fetal consultant who basically said, it repeated exactly what my friend had told me that they were going to recommend terminating because it was like a lethal version of this. She wouldn't survive. So they take you into the horrible room with the tissues. You know,
oh, God.
And you go, all right, this is what this means then. The only thing I was worried about was that I would have to give birth to her. That's all I was thinking was, oh, God, am I going to have to go
through it all?
Knowing that I'm giving birth to essentially a dead child, do I have to go through that?
Which can happen.
Well, I did. I had to give birth to her.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Lou, I thought you were going to say you didn't have to do that.
No, I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Lou.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my heart hurts for you right now.
Yeah. So, because it wouldn't have been safe or for me, otherwise it was the only way to get her out, basically. So
I think people just don't realise sometimes how you
have
to terminate. It's not... Yeah.
Because she's... Yeah. So
so they told you that in that room?
Yeah, yeah. And I...
Please tell me he didn't make a joke.
He didn't make a joke then. Basically, I didn't want him to be at the birth because I thought he has not got the capacity to not be vile or say something horrible. So I didn't want him there. And he actually said, oh, I can't do this. I can't be there. And the nurse was in the room going... Well, Louise doesn't want to be there, but she's got to go through this. And I was like, really?
No, no.
I don't. I really. Please don't defend this.
Don't
I really,
back me up.
Yeah, I don't want this idiot in the room with me. So, the other thing, all I wanted to know was, do I have to give birth to her? And the only other thing was, I wanted her body to be left to medical research.
Mm.
Because I just thought, well, something positive has to come out of this.
Yeah, of course.
So they were like, oh, yeah, you can, we'll deal with all that and blah, 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 blah. So on the way back from the hospital that day, another hospital rang and said, we can start this process today. So you have to come in and basically they give you a tablet orally and that prepares the womb.
Right.
And I think that possibly...
Does it?
I'm not. I didn't really ask too many questions.
But I think, fair enough. You don't want to go into high details at that emotional time.
And then they say, right, that prepares the womb, and then you go back 2 days later, and then you go to the maternity unit of the hospital.
Oh my god!
And
no, you had to go to maternity.
Yeah. But I mean, this is awful because in some counties. If in this situation, in some counties, you actually have to give birth to your dead child on a maternity unit, which is horrific. But in my case, they had a special unit for my situation. So I was
so you didn't have to be around babies?
No. So I took the pill and then they put me into the unit. That was on the Monday. They put me into the unit on the Wednesday. And Alan came with me. And she was amazing. And... they basically said, right, what we're going to do is we're going to induce you. Mm-hmm. It's weird, isn't it? Because they just go, right, the only kind of instruction you get is that you have to give birth over a bedpan, over the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Because they have to be able to collect everything so they can take it away.
Yeah.
And so me being me was like, oh, well, I have to do what in the bedpan? So I have to do everything in the bedpan. So every time I had a wee or a poo or whatever, I was like ringing the bell going, I've done something in the bedpan.
Do you want it?
They were like,
okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Because when they put the, put pills into your cervix. I don't know whether you were.
I was induced, Oh, it's hardcore.
Yeah, so, and then I don't know whether you have the same thing, but it kind of makes you shit yourself.
Yeah.
So I was like.
Yes, it does. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it makes you shit yourself.
It just helps you get rid of everything. Before you have to go into crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
Crunch time, that's it.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. So I was like not making the association until a bit later on when I was like, oh, I have to give birth in the bedpan. They don't want to see all of my shits and pisses. Oh, this is disgusting. Poor girls. So
bless them for not saying anything.
I know.
Just like, sure, you know what? Sure, let's just collect it.
Yeah,
sure. There's no problem.
And
so
then,
you then went into proper labour.
Yeah.
So because I know some happens to some people, they do go into labour and they have a premature baby. So essentially you went into completely a normal early labour.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Mm.
Which is, I mean, someone who's recently been through it, it is a hardcore anyway. That must have been incredibly... Or did you just zone it out? Did you just go into like, I'm just going to think about having getting her out, not thinking about what is at the end of this?
I think because I knew it had to be done, I didn't really... I think as women, we're amazing, aren't we? Because if in this situation, we know this is what we've got to do. So your brain just shuts off because this is the job in hand.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do. So this is what's happening. That emotional bit, you have to kind of park it because if you were to go...
Oh, my God, what I'm actually doing.
What I'm actually doing is awful. But so you kind of park it and then, you know... when they put the tablets in my cervix, they were like, oh, well, it'll be a bit like period pain.
Yeah,
or a little bit worse. Yes, it really is. And they said sometimes it can take hours to start, but me being me, ooh, no, straight away.
What happened to me? They induced me, sorry, listeners, they induced me and they went, oh, you'll be 24 hours. And I was in this ward, all these women waiting half an hour. And they didn't believe my husband. He was like, she's in labour. And they're going, she won't be. And I came and found me like in a ball in the corner. They were like, oh my God, that was fast.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah. Jeez, yeah, I know. And it really, it is like a truck's hit you, isn't it?
No, but they, it all sort of started. And, oh God, poor Alan. She was, I mean.
And your friend is pregnant as well.
Oh no, this is a different Susan. That's why I call her Alan.
Oh, I see.
And the other Susan.
I was going to say, otherwise this poor pregnant woman must be like watching what's about to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So Alan's with me and she's, and I wanted to make sure was that she was okay.
Yeah.
Because in that situation, if it had been the other way round, I don't know how I'd have felt seeing one of my best friends going through that. So yeah. I wanted her to know that I was aware that it's that weird thing, isn't it? Right. Are you okay? She's like, yes, yes. I was like, all right, okay. And then she kept making me Robinson's pink grapefruit, which now I can't fucking stand.
Yeah.
And so she was making me drinks and staring at her magazines. She wasn't reading them. She was just staring at them as I was sort of getting more and more in pain. And then I'm not a moany out loudy type in pain sort of person. I kind of internalise it. So I was sort of laying on the bed, groaning. And then I was like, I really need some painkillers. And the woman was like, oh, we'll get you some codeine. I was like, I'm allergic to codeine.
Shit.
Yeah, so she was like, we'll get you some paracetamol. I was like,
great. Oh my God. Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. That'll sort it out.
And then eventually I was allowed to have some diamorphine. Then I was off with the fairies for a couple of hours. And then when it started dying off, the pain was just like, and then I was like, please, I really need another shot of this. Well, she was like, oh, we've only signed you off for one. I'll have to go and get the doctor to sign you off for another. I was like, go and get me another. Go and get me some more. And then as she left the room, I turned over, my waters broke, and I was like, oh, I'm about to give birth. So I just sort of got myself off the bed.
Wow.
Said,
so you're on your own? There was no midwife at this point?
No. So I was like, Alan. And so we went into the bathroom, and then Alan sat next to me holding my hand as I gave birth into this bedpan. But I didn't birth the placenta, so she was still attached to me.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
So I hope nobody's eaten their lunch while they're listening to this. And so then eventually the nurse came back, and I was like, oh, it's happened. And then she sort of like had a look between my legs, and then she went, oh, right, okay. She said, all right, you haven't birthed the placenta, so then she was like, right, we're going to need to get you back to the bed. So she picked up the baby, held her between my legs as I got onto the bed, and then sort of laid her on the bed but covered her over. And I saw her face, and it was just like, I've seen her face. And the nurse was like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. Because they'd sort of said to me, there is a chance that she'll be born alive. So, and then the woman said, oh, if you hear a kind of noise, that's her dying, oh my God, basically. No. So I was just, you know, I mean, it's all a bit.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Bonkers, really.
It must have been, because it's so much, it's almost like your brain can't you just can't take it in.
It's the,
like, hearing it from you, I feel so like, oh my God, that is the most, such a difficult situation. But I can imagine at the time it's just like, well, this was happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is how do you process
well,
that?
Well, you don't really. You just get on with it.
And
then they were like, right, you're gonna have to push the placenta out, and I was pushing and pushing. And then before I know it, there's like the bed is surrounded by people, and then there's this woman's got her hand up with Fanny,
oh, which was actually get it out,
more painful than anything else. And then eventually they gave me an epidural, took me down to the theatre, and
She's still there.
The nurse eventually took her away.
Right, I was going to say.
And she was like, oh, hello, sweetheart. I was just like talking to her, and I was like, oh God, you're talking to her like she's an actual person. But it was because she is a person, yeah. And then, by this point, I'm in the theatre, and I'm having this epidural, and they couldn't get it in, and it was just like, and I was like, can you not just give me a general anaesthetic?
Just knock me out. Yeah, just knock me out at this point.
Yeah, they were like, no, we can't. I was like, okay. So then by that point, I was just like, I don't give a fuck anymore. What happens? Yeah. I really don't care. So then I was like delirious, laid on the bed as this man was like, had his hand inside me, was trying to scoop out all this placenta. And I was like off my face, trying to make jokes.
Because
the atmosphere was just awful. And I was just like, this is, yes, it's awful, but can we all just be normal now? And so I was like sort of making really bad jokes to Tom, the guy. I was like, hey Tom, now that you've fisted me, we should at least go on a date.
He's like, should I laugh, I don't know.
The whole room was just like, shh. Alan was just like, yeah, perhaps leave it, eh?
It's
like,
not the crowd, Lewis. It's not the crowd. Yeah. It's a tough gig.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing your best, but
yeah, it's not Baby Blue in Liverpool. Oh, come on, leave it. So yeah. And then the next day they asked me if I wanted to meet her, and they'd asked me that the day before, and I wasn't sure at that point whether I wanted to, because I was just a bit like, I don't know how I'm going to feel. Yeah. But then I was like, oh, well, if I don't actually see her, then I'm gonna regret that for the rest of my life.
It's interesting. I read a book recently, which I talk about a lot, called Grief Works by Julia Samuels. And she has a big thing that you should try, if you can, because apparently it helps with the grieving process, to just physically see they're dead.
Yeah.
Something in your brain, something primeval goes, oh, okay, I saw it. So yeah. I think that's amazing. If you don't, of course, I completely understand. That is a really tough question.
Yeah. But sort of looking back on it now, I think, if I hadn't have gone through the labour, and if I hadn't have given birth to her, it would have been like the 1950s where they just take them away.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And
that person didn't exist. Mm. So I had to see her to acknowledge that actually this person was growing inside me. And Alan was like, oh, she's, because I wanted her to be there as well. And she was like, oh, she's amazing. It's no wonder you've been knackered for 5.5 months. So I was like, oh, I know. And she, and she was, you could clearly see she wasn't very well.
Yeah.
But actually, she was just this little person. They'd sort of dressed her up and put her in a Moses basket and sort of gave her a little teddy and everything. Yeah, it was just dead weird. Mm. Just dead weird. But if I hadn't have met her, then, you're always wondering then, aren't you? And like the funeral, because the hospital were amazing, and they organised the funeral. And
was that very soon?
Well, because I'd asked for her body to be sent to
medical
research, it sort of took a little bit longer than it ordinarily would have. So when they had finished doing their tests on her and doing whatever it was they were doing, then they'd released her body and then said, all right, now we can give you the funeral. So I think it was the following month.
Wow.
I mean, it's awful. I don't want to sound like I'm really bitter towards the twat.
But it's fine. It sounds like he deserves a little bit.
Yeah, but I think what you were saying is like, but people don't realise what it is inside you. People don't realise that it's an actual person. Mm. You've given birth to this person. There they are. It's not a blob.
Yeah.
And
I think it's because everyone's like, the baby. Like, the baby doesn't mean much. No. I mean, I didn't know this until I had a baby, that it is a person.
Yeah.
It's like,
That's why I get so angry when people go, oh, it was a miscarriage, because people use that word miscarriage as kind of an umbrella term of, oh, well, it didn't really happen, and oh dear.
And I think implies, I think people go, oh, I guess she was a couple of weeks pregnant and she had a heavy period. Yeah. That's kind of what you think, miscarriage. Yeah. And obviously, miscarriages are still awful, whatever scale they are. But I agree with you. It doesn't. It's not. We're missing a word somewhere, aren't we?
Yeah. And I think whatever term your pregnancy went to, if you unfortunately lost the baby or whatever, there should be a. I don't know. There should be a term for whatever stage you're at, because just putting it under that umbrella is awful.
They're never a blob. They're never a blob. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think for you as the mum.
Mm,
but I think if you haven't, again, with all things, if you haven't experienced it or you haven't been pregnant, you're like, all right. I mean, I definitely know in my 20s if someone said, oh, so-and-so lost a baby at 12 weeks, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you just like, go,
12
okay.
weeks isn't very long.
Yeah.
Because you just, that doesn't mean anything.
No.
And people don't realise when you're pregnant, you think about it every second of every fucking day. Like, it's all you think about. You can't think about anything else because you are growing a person.
Yeah.
So did he come to the funeral?
Oh!
Let's see how he does, listeners. How is he doing?
Well, okay. So it was about 4 or 5 days after this all happened. My midwife is my bereavement counsellor as well.
Wow.
And not everybody gets that. So okay. I've been extremely lucky with the treatment I had. And she popped round and said, oh, we think the funeral will be on such and such a date. So I was like, oh, okay, right, bye. So he rang and said, he was going about his daily business. Oh, I'm just off to get my suit for so-and-so's wedding. And, oh, and I'm off to go and do this. Oh, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right.
I was
what?
Like, well, how do you expect me to be? All right, yeah. And I said, all right, well, the funeral is on whatever date it was. And he went, oh, funeral? Oh, bloody hell, they do it all serious. Then. Oh, I could have just fed it to me chickens. Yeah.
I mean, I'm face-palming. I just want people to know that I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw him some positive hope here. Do you think he just couldn't deal with it? He was feeling a lot of pain, but he just didn't. Or is he just a twat? what are we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
no.
I really don't know.
I was hoping that maybe it's just the way he deals with things and he's just not emotionally mature enough.
I think he's not emotionally mature enough. But I think it just goes back to that point that you made, that people assume it's a blob.
Yeah.
So...
And if he didn't go through it with you, I think that's the thing. Although I completely understand you didn't want him.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have wanted him to go through that either because...
He didn't.
Yeah.
It's... he doesn't have that, oh, my God, it was a little person and...
Yeah.
And there she was and you saw that. Like, so, oh, that is a really shit thing to say. I'm going to go out and say that. Even though I don't know him and I don't, I don't like to judge, but I'm going to say that. If you're listening, not him, but as a rule, that's not a good thing to say to someone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we were on the phone. So I said, you've really upset me. I'm going
to. I can't even have to say that.
Yeah.
By the way, that's upsetting.
Yeah. So he went, oh, come on, I'm just joking about. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to go now. And then I put the phone down. And then I rang Alan because I was like, because I was like, in my head, I was like, have I been unjustifiably upset by this?
I wish I could have been there and gone, Lou, no.
So she was like, no, this is, how can he say that? And he did, he texted me to go, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. And so I just...
Okay, he's a little bit aware he's
So I texted him back and I said, what you said was basically was unforgivably insensitive.
Mm.
And he went, I know. And that's the last time we've ever spoken.
Wow.
So he didn't come to the funeral.
Oh.
Which was, again, in terms of things that would only happen to me. Me and my mum and dad went to the funeral. And were given the wrong date.
Oh, my God.
Inadvertently attended the funeral of a Jewish man. So.
No way!
Yeah.
What did you just think while we're here now?
Well, we were just sort of, I mean, oh, God, it was awful. We just sat in the car park because it wouldn't have been just my baby. It would have been all the babies
So
we thought, oh, it's very busy. Christ almighty, there must have been a lot of babies that haven't made it this month. And then, like, and all these people were, like, congregating in the car park. And we were like, oh, they're all, oh, gosh, there's a lot of Jewish people here. Oh, gosh. Oh, God, you know. And we were like, oh, this is great. That's really culturally diverse. And, oh, gosh. And then we were sort of like, in the car park, just sort of like meandering around going, so what do we... And then this hearse pulled up. And we were like, oh, they can't all be in there.
Oh, God.
And then,
big...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Well, I suppose you've never done this before, have you?
So
you think, well, all right. So
that is, oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, sorry, but that is hilarious.
It is. It has only happened to me. So then we just went, right, okay, so... Okay. So then I panicked, thinking my baby's funeral is somewhere else and I am missing
it. Oh,
so I was ringing the hospital, going, "Where is it and what's going on?" And they were like, "Oh no, it won't be today. It's been bank holiday. It'll be next week."
Oh, thanks.
So, but I had the letter with the date on. I was like, "Yeah, but I've got the letter here." And they were like, "Oh gosh." Anyway, it was an admin error. So we went home, drank a bottle of wine,
of course.
Went back the following week and had another go at it, and that was awful.
Mm.
So there was like 20. There was about 25 caskets all lined up, and that was awful.
Oh, I can't imagine. Mm. That must have been unbearable.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, it's like you're sort of looking around the crematorium, and you're sort of looking around at all these people, and there was a couple that had a baby, a newborn baby, so they'd obviously lost a twin.
Right.
And then there was a woman that was on, there was quite a few women on their own.
Mm.
And all I wanted to do was just gather the women up that were on their own and just go, don't be on your own.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. That's...
Yeah, you can't. It's awkward.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You can't go up to somebody at their own child's funeral and go, oh, come on, come and sit with us. Because that's fine to do that at a finger buffet of a party that you know,
at a wedding
yeah, when you don't know that
are
people.
You alone, join us.
Yeah
It's tough because they obviously they might have made the decision they wanted on their own, but I completely understand.
Oh God. And my friend Becky was like, you don't have to go to the funeral, and I was like, I do, because I'm her mum, so I have to go and I want to go, because then it's not closure, but it's
something, isn't it?
It's something, because she hasn't just gone away. She is, you know, she's having her own funeral, and you know, and I've still got her ashes by the side of the bed because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with them.
I mean, my mum kept my dad in the wardrobe for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Don't feel bad.
Oh, but that's now, because before I was like, oh, that's weird.
I know.
Why would people do that? But now I totally get it.
If you don't understand, you go, creepy. And if you do, you go, yeah, well, if you're not ready. She didn't know what to do, so she was like, oh, I'll just keep in the wardrobe. And she used to always say, oh, I must clear out the wardrobe, your dad's in there. And then eventually she felt ready to do something.
Yeah.
But I think it's completely, whenever you're ready, or if you're never ready.
Did you not want to have your dad for a bit, or did you?
No, I was cool with him being in that room. I think because as well, like obviously that was their room.
Yeah.
So there's something nice, but like, oh, they're still in the room. My mum and dad's room.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in mum and dad's room. It's still, he's in the cupboard.
Like, dad's in the cupboard. Don't go in there. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with. I don't want. I find it really comforting having her by the side of the bed.
I completely understand that.
Yeah. And I sort of chat. I mean, the neighbours, you can hear everything through the walls of my flat. They must think, she lives on her own. Who's she talking to? Talking to my dead baby. Now, leave me alone.
We're having a great conversation.
Yeah.
I think until you're ready to... Ooh. I think my mum said to me that she suddenly thought, oh, I know what to do with them. Because there was a big discussion about what to do with them. And he had said he wanted them scattered somewhere else. But we were all convinced he didn't mean that. Even though he said it, we were like, he didn't mean that. He didn't. And so she said when she felt like, oh, she made the decision, oh, that's where they should go. And it was like, oh, well, I'm ready because I knew that.
Right.
So it's like the idea.
Yeah.
Like you said, she suddenly went, oh,
yeah,
they need to go to Wales. That's where they need to go.
Yeah.
But there was obviously like, endless conversations about what to do with it. Him. But I think that's completely understandable. Mm. Completely understandable. So you had the funeral about a month afterwards.
Mm.
I mean, I can't even begin to ask you how it was afterwards, but I have to. Did you have the... Because people know you're pregnant. And when you're pregnant, all people do is talk to you about being pregnant. Mm. Did you have to do the constant explaining? Or did people just kind of leave you alone? Or did you get the... I hear this a lot, of people just not wanting to talk to you. Were you slightly...
Oh, God. Well, it was... Well, the worst thing was that Susan, who was pregnant... her mum died the same week I lost the baby. God. So we were kind of, I mean, it's just, so we were kind of united in our kind of
pain, I guess.
Pain.
Yeah.
But then the worst thing was watching her progress with her pregnancy.
I was going to say, that must be really hard.
But then she's one of my best friends, and they'd tried for so long with IVF and whatever, so I could never, ever be angry or jealous of that. So we had that going on. And then, of course, on the circuit, you're on the comedy circuit, eventually everybody finds out that you're up the duff.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of... I wasn't working, but then it's strange because you sort of like ease your way back into gigging because you need the money. And then I remember some guy, I was at this gig and this guy came up to me and he went, "Oh, you've had the baby."
Oh, fuck.
I was like, in a way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and he wouldn't believe. I was like, "Oh no, it's not gone well." And he was like, "Oh, stop it." I was like, "No, really."
Oh, no, because you're a comedian. Everyone's like, "Oh, that's a sick joke, Lou."
Yeah, you
cheeky monkey.
Yeah.
No, really.
Shit, Lou, that's awful. Yeah. But and then I've had people who I thought were friends who haven't mentioned it to me to this day.
What? Just literally never said?
No, it's like it's not happened. And then one of those people was telling other people, like, because it's weird because you get a lot of presents because people don't know how to express.
Yeah.
Or what to say. So they don't know what to say. So and this woman was sort of saying, "No, I think it's best you leave Louise alone. Don't phone her and don't buy her any presents." Well, actually, I think you should go fuck yourself and...
I will take the presents. Excuse me, the least I can get is some bloody gifts out of this situation.
Just acknowledge.
That's so
just
weird.
Have some sort of acknowledgement from people. I didn't expect presents,
I think some people... This, I mean, I've talked about this before, like, I once got very upset about it and I was at a rehearsal and someone said, "Would you like to leave the room?"
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, why? What happened?"
Yeah.
And I thought, "Oh, you mean because I'm up? What? Because I'm upset?" I was so confused. It sort of stopped me crying because I was like, "Oh, no, I'm just crying." But I had to sort of, I was very angry. And then I thought, "Oh, she meant that in a caring way. That's what she thinks caring is."
Mm.
And then I sort of thought, what happened in your childhood that you think caring is removing someone?
Yeah.
So that's, I think, you, that woman saying that, I mean, it's mad, but they sort of think, no, I'm protecting Louise by, she doesn't want to be, but I sort, well, again, I'm being kind. Perhaps she's just a class A bitch.
Yeah, I don't know, because this person I considered to be a friend, and now it's like, oh, right. So
death does really, really strange things.
And then
to
I
people.
Had one person say to me, "Oh, God, you got so many presents. Oh, God, you should lose a baby more often." Which, you know...
Oh, my God! Fucking hell!
In comedy terms, it's like, okay, all right, well, okay.
You know, the only person allowed to make that joke is you. Like, I totally understand where the joke comes technically, but it's your grief.
Yeah.
I think that's what people... We talked about this with David Baddiel, actually, of like... Because we're comedians, we might make jokes about it. And some people read that as, oh, it's up for jokes.
Yeah,
and you're like, no. This is my grief. My way of owning it is sometimes joking about it. I'm joking because I'm so clearly in agony. Can you not see the agony? Like, that is incredible, but she said that. What should you do?
I sort of laughed and was like, oh God. Then I thought, I can't address this because I need to go. I'll make a cup of tea.
That's a real classic comedian reaction. Because I have done that. So I've got, you laugh, you go, yeah. And inside you're going, oh my God, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So because you're not acting like you did something wrong, perhaps you didn't do something wrong. I guess I'll make a cup of tea and then you tell your real friends.
Yeah.
Oh, she said this. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
I did think I was hurt, wasn't I?
Yeah.
But I didn't. That. Yeah,
but then I had a phone call from another comedian who, him and his partner, he rang me. He was like, "Oh, we've been discussing it, and we're so sorry. And we'd like to. We've always wanted to have kids, and
no,
we'd like to offer you our sperm."
Oh my God.
And then followed by, well, at least you know now that you can get pregnant. So I think this could work. I think this could work.
What did you say?
So I was like, oh God.
Oh, knowing, this is like of all the awkward situations to get out of.
And he's adorable and I love him to pieces, but no.
No, that's not.
No.
That's not. I'm not like saying my ovaries are open for business.
No, and because after the whole placenta removal, they'd left a bit inside me.
Oh, yeah. God.
And I was in low-level labour for about 6 weeks afterwards.
Jesus Christ.
So I was not well.
Yeah.
So it's
really dangerous to have it left in you. I know, but you don't realise. Like.
So in between these, the him going, oh, we'd like to offer you our sperm, I was still having contractions as my body was trying to get rid of it. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, my God. So, he must have been like, she's overwhelmed. Yeah. She's going to think about it.
Yeah.
We talk about this again. What would you have wanted people to say? Because I think often, sometimes people are crass, like some of those examples. Sometimes people, they just don't know. Mm. I always feel like, I just want you to acknowledge it. Mm. I just want you to say, oh, I'm really sorry. And even if I go, it's not your fault, I'm still glad you said sorry.
Yeah.
Like people don't realise, I'm in pain, so I may say something shit, but that doesn't mean what you did was bad. I need to go, you know what? I'm really sorry, that's awful.
It's exactly what you say. Just acknowledge it.
Mm.
And even if it's, how are you today?
Yeah.
Or
thinking of you. I also quite like, because it's like, oh, I don't have to go into the details, but I just want you to know, I was just thinking of you.
Yeah.
I know it's been a bit shit lately. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You're not making me say it out loud.
Yeah. Or just even saying, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know that I don't know what to say. But, it, you know, just something other than, you've lost weight or nothing, especially for you,
because you know she had such a little brief life, like you said, to feel like she did exist. And it's, you know, you just acknowledge, I mean, it's, I think it's different when someone's older, because obviously you have this life to look at, and you are, or if you're their child, you literally are like, well, I'm proof they existed.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I can only imagine that not acknowledging it must feel like, did I make it up? Did I make up like I had this baby?
Yeah. And I think this is my whole point, that like the article I wrote last year, that the whole point of writing that article was primarily because I wanted the dad to realise what it was.
Yeah.
The impact on what his comment had on me was. And then I thought, well, if he thinks like that, then there's a million other people that think exactly the same. So the whole point of the article was to just educate people on what it is a woman goes through, and their partner as well, if they're happily ensconced in a lovely relationship.
Yeah.
Then that's, you know, it's educating people. And then so to allow and to be able to give permission to people to be able to mention it in conversation. Yeah. Because, yes, it's just over a year that this has happened to me. But sometimes I have down days. Sometimes I'm fine. But on the days where I do feel a little bit shit, just for people to understand why I feel a little bit shit.
Yeah.
Because I think people go, oh, God, is she still banging on about the dead baby? Fucking hell. But actually, I'll probably always have that. I don't know how long. Because you must have days where you're like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And that's 10 years ago.
Or 20.
Oh,
I'm coming up to 20,
shit.
Yeah, okay. I'm old. I'm old. And it's funny because if people don't know, and I say 20 years, like, and when I say don't know, I mean they don't get it. And I say 20 years, they go, all right, okay. Like, oh, 20 years is all right.
Yeah.
But if they get it, they get it. And I don't, the older I get, I think, I mean, I can only speak from losing a parent. It definitely gets easier. The only way I can think to describe it is that the feeling bad goes away more.
Mm.
So at the beginning, you feel bad for a year. And then it gets, you know, the goodness sort of starts replacing it.
Mm.
So when my experience of when it's been 20 years, I would say I have bad, really bad days. About once a year.
Mm.
On a good year. Not always. Mm. Depends what's happening. But I think about once a year I get very blue and I start thinking about it and you remember him. What I think you learn is to go, oh, this will go. Because when you're in it at the beginning, you're like, I will never feel happy again. Mm. This is it. This is my life. And you don't realise, oh, you will. It will. Your life will build around this hole, but the hole will always be there. Mm. And occasionally you remember the hole. Like, yeah. That's it. I don't think it. I think you always will. This will always be part of what happened to you and part of your story.
Yeah.
But it does. I think it. What I always try and say to people, which I think is really hard to believe when you're in the middle of it, it does get easier. Of course it does. It doesn't make that pain is always raw, but you just don't have to deal with it every day or every hour, every minute. Yeah. You know, when you're in that first year, it's literally every single second of the day is all your, it's there, present.
Yeah.
And I think then the second year gets a bit easier, third year gets a bit easier, fourth year, fifth year, I think you have a crash. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm back here. And then just, you know, slowly. But I think that's
good to know, though, because sometimes I think, oh God, I'm bored of myself.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes. Bored of it. And like, and they took photos of her, and I very rarely look at them.
Mm.
But yesterday I was having a really down day because I did an interview on Woman's Hour quite recently.
Yes.
And I had hundreds of messages from people via my website just going, this happened to me when in the 1960s, and they just took my baby away.
Oh,
and I wasn't able to talk to anybody about it, and blah, 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 blah. So, and the messages have been very positive. But having all of...
It's hard.
Having them, having other people's experiences still coming through via my website, it's like, thank you for sharing that with me. And I feel slightly privileged that people feel that they can share it. But I didn't expect to get the reaction from people that I did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of still everybody else's stories. But, you know, they're all very similar. It's like, we don't talk about this. And so I've done it to myself, you know, writing a show about it and opening up the discussion. So I have only myself to blame. But it's, I think it's necessary. So... But some, as I say, some days are good and some days are bad when I keep getting messages from people. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying stop sending me messages because it's really nice to hear other people's experiences. But sometimes it's like, oh God. And then one woman emailed me and went, you're the voice. You're the voice of all the dead babies.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not.
I don't want to be the dead baby voice.
No, I'm a comedian that talks about tits and fannies. No, I can't be the dead baby.
Please,
lady.
Don't.
I mean, the messages, I've had a lot of messages from people in Ireland as well going,
oh God.
Which is, oh God, it just makes me so very sad that these women don't have the option and even in circumstances like mine would still have to go through the pregnancy. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? The messages that I've had from, oh, you were lucky enough to be able to, you know, well, I say lucky, but to have the
to not have to go full term with a child that you know isn't going to survive.
And then I had another message from a woman who was like, so I've not told any of my family that that this happened to me. And she said, now thanks to hearing you on talking about it, I sat my kids down and I told them, and you gave me the permission to be able to talk about it. And I was like, oh God, this is amazing. But
I mean, these things, that's the thing of like, you can never take the sadness away. We can want to talk about it and we can feel compelled to, and we can know it helps, but that doesn't take our sadness or their sadness.
No.
And it shouldn't. And I always say this as well, like, the reason you're sad is she mattered.
Mm.
If you weren't sad, that would mean you didn't care.
Yeah.
And of course you cared about her, and of course that mattered. So the sadness, unfortunately, is like the byproduct.
Yeah.
Of it will just be there. There's nothing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
This is the thing with grief, as I'm sure people will know. It just hits you in weird places.
Yeah.
You'll be standing in Aldi and then you think, oh, fuck. Oh, you see, I'm sure you must see babies. And, you know, I get it if I see people with their dads or if I see, like, a family at the moment with, like, the grandparents. I'm like, there's her grandfather. Like, you know, it's...
That's really hard as well, because my mum and dad... Well, my sister lives in Brazil. She's got two kids. They're, like, 18 and 14. And obviously my mum and dad don't see them because it's miles away and it's so expensive to travel back and forth. So my mum and dad were really excited to have a grandchild here.
Yeah.
And my mum actually did some knitting, which, if you met my mum, no, that's Jan doesn't knit. And she'd made a whole, like, cardigan thing and a little bonnet and everything. And she was like, well, what shall I do with this now? I was like, well, I don't really know. She's like, well, right, well, maybe I'll give it to somebody else. I was like, yeah, perhaps you give it to somebody else. And when they come and visit me, I really feel it when the three of us are out and we go, you know, we see families with babies and I see my mum. Mm. It's really affected her because all she wants is a grandchild. And that's what kills me is seeing my mum. My dad doesn't express any emotion. Yeah. He spends his money. That's what he does. But my mum, that's what's really hard.
Perhaps she feels sadness for you as well, like seeing someone, you know, maybe it's not just the grandchild, is she seeing a mum and a daughter and the grandchild and thinking, that got taken from Lou. Like, it's so much sadness. I think that's what is really hard to explain to people who don't understand. Of like, it's just a level of sadness that is really hard to express because it's so massive. Mm. And you almost can't vocalise it. Like, that's why we make jokes, because you're like, oh, if I said the sadness, I'd just be screaming white noise at you.
Yeah.
Like, it would be impenetrable to hear. And it's just so sad. And again, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, of there's a great sadness when somebody, an adult dies. And there's a great, you know, my dad was 44. That's very sad. But then we talk about, obviously, when someone's 80, it's still sad. But I think the life unlived is just...
Mm.
Well, Lou, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for listening to me waffling on.
Thank you for coming in and talking to us about Emma. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can follow Lou on Twitter at Lou Conran, and you can see the show she made about her experience of grief, which is called I Love Lucy. It's currently touring 1st of Feb Maidenhead, 15th of Feb Birmingham, 18th of Feb Leicester, and the 7th of April in Stafford. Other dates are being added, so do follow her on Twitter or have a look at her website if you want to see if she's coming near you. Lou is also raising money for the charity Saying Goodbye, who help people deal with the loss of a baby in pregnancy, birth or early years. If you'd like to help her, please go to mydonate.bt.com/fundraisers/Lou Conran tries her best, where you can donate, you know, between £1, £5, £20, anything you have. I know any small or large amount will help those who've gone through just some of what Lou described. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast, or you can follow me on Twitter at Lady Cariad. Music was provided by The Glue Ensemble, and the show was produced by Kate Holland. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are not alone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.